missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And I just want to like tell everyone about 5 seconds ago when I told you what this case was. And you were like, oh, it's an international case.
I've never heard of it. And I looked at, and as you guys know, we don't know about it until we're going to record. So what I do is when Amy throws a case out, I like throw it through Google, at least so I can get like a date and a place.
Right.
So I have some context as to like where we're starting. And I was like, okay. But I will say he's pretty close to our age, or would be.
Right. I just think it's funny because if I'm not pulling a case from the 70s or earlier, then of course I'm going to throw you for a loop and throw an international case in there.
I mean, why wouldn't you? That's what you do.
That's what I do. I hope you still love me for it.
Oh, of course I do. I do love you. And I will tell you, someone just emailed us a case from like, I don't know, 1980 or something. And I was checking their email and I compiled them all in a spreadsheet. And I didn't even add it to the spreadsheet. I literally screenshotted it and sent it to Amy and was like, hey, you want this one?
Yep. That was probably the best way to go.
I mean, I know. Mm-hmm. You'll do it and you'll love every second of it. It'll make me crazy.
You're absolutely right.
Either way,
I'm gonna jump right in if that's okay.
Yeah, I'm down.
All right. So I said it was an international case, but it seems to me like it's garnered attention here in the States, probably. And I would assume that probably other countries as well. There is like, you're gonna love this, Melissa. I just thought of this because there are tapes.
Like videotapes?
Yes, there are videotapes.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yes.
Tell me they're bizarre.
So we're going to post them to social media. And yeah, okay. It's pretty bizarre.
Awesome.
So I think that's the reason why this made such like an impression on YouTube and stuff, because of this footage. And there's quite a bit of it. It's not just like a snapshot. It's very clear and everything like that.
Okay.
So the way that I'm going to tell the story is, when I was looking into this, there were inconsistencies between stories. And I mean, for the most part, they got the points on the big stuff right. But some stuff was happening on different days and things like that. So I just kind of went with the articles that had the most consistent information from article to article, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
I have to wonder if part of the reason is like people trying to interpret German media to English.
Is that where it happened, in Germany?
That is right.
Okay.
So, I'm going to tell you about Lars Metenk. And he was born on February 19th of 1986. So you're right, he is very close to our age.
Okay.
He lives in Germany. He lives a pretty typical life. I do know that he's an only child. Know that in most of the articles, his mother is the speaker, but I have no reason to believe that his father is not involved or anything. And he has a good relationship. And his life, just like Jacob a few cases back, was pretty uneventful. Like, he's a typical kid, well, adult. He's a good friend. He's got a girlfriend. He's got a job. Doesn't get in any trouble or anything like that. And he works at a power plant. So he's doing what he has to do. Him and his friends end up planning a trip, and they're going to go to Bulgaria. Now, there's an area in Bulgaria on the shore, I guess, which I read in one article, it's known as like the Bulgarian Riviera. Seems like a tourist spot. Seems like there are lots of resorts.
Okay.
And it's kind of a popular destination, I guess. So him and his buddies are all going to go on kind of a guy's trip. So they schedule the trip for June 30th through July 7th, and this is in the summer of 2014. So they all go on June 30th, and for the most part of the trip, like, things went really well. you know, his friends had said he wasn't acting weird. Nothing really happened. Like, it was just a relaxing time. But the last few days of the trip got a little funny.
Define funny.
Well, a series of events happened, and they just tailspinned into, well, the disappearance. I wouldn't be giving anything away by saying that.
Okay.
So about July 6th, which is before the guys were all going to fly out to go home, like the day before, they all go to a bar. And it seems like they're all there, like, during the day to watch the World Cup soccer game. For whatever reason, Lars and a bunch of guys get into some type of heated altercation. They're actually not just yelling, they're throwing punches and stuff like that. So Lars gets hit in the head, and this ended up rupturing his eardrum, and he actually had to go to the hospital, and that's where he was diagnosed with the ruptured eardrum. He was prescribed medication, and the doctor, I guess, had said, oh, you're flying out tomorrow? That's really not a good idea, because from what I understand, that would be excruciatingly painful because of the altitude on a plane and the air pressure change.
Yep.
So he was advised to cool it for a couple of days and fly out when he could. So that was the plan going forward. So my understanding is, like, after they left the hospital, they go to, like, a McDonald's or something, him and his friends. Lars sits outside.
Which seems like a totally normal activity.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah, like, you go to the hospital and then go to McDonald's.
Melissa?
Are you going to talk about my bachelorette party? The minute I said it, I was like, shoot.
Just to not leave you in the dark, Melissa sprained her ankle at her bachelorette party, and we were
Melissa
at...
tore ligaments in her ankle at her bachelorette
party. Oh, is that what it was?
Uh-huh.
We were at a Boston Red Sox game. Sorry. Oh, and that's yep. where it happened. Go to the hospital, but what do we do after the hospital? We go to dinner.
Yep, we left. Me on crutches.
That's right. So I think
okay.
I made my
so
point.
No judgment. So no
okay,
judgment.
Okay, no judgment.
Oh, Lord.
They go to McDonald's. Lars is like, I'll wait outside. The boys go in. They order their food. When they come back out, Lars is missing. And they're like, what happened? Now, I don't know why they didn't do anything. I imagine they were concerned to a degree, but I guess not concerned enough because there was, like, no cops being called or anything like that. They go back to wherever they're staying. I guess they go to sleep, but in the morning, they see Lars. And they're like, dude, where'd you go? And he was like, I got into another altercation.
Oh, my goodness.
And those guys that I was fighting with, they, like, sent Russians to get me. They're going to get me. And his friends are like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I'm being followed. He was acting really paranoid and stuff. And they were like, do you want us to stay with you? Because our flight is leaving today. Like, what do you want? He's like, no, I'll be fine. You guys go. Which is what they ended up doing. I guess whatever he had said made them feel a little bit better. I don't know. The guys leave at whatever point. Lars then has to check into another hotel. And he goes to, like, kind of a not so great part of town. And he gets a room at a place called Hotel Color. I don't know if it's like Hotel Color or something, but it's spelled color, so I'm going to call it Hotel Color.
Okay.
And he checks in there, and hotel personnel were able to say that he was acting very bizarre. They said that he was kind of pacing around the hotel lobby, almost as if he was looking for somebody. He was in and out of his room. He left the hotel at one point at like 1 a.m. and didn't return for about an hour, and no one knows where he went.
This gives me very Elisa Lam vibes.
Does it not? I felt the same way. So he calls his mom at some point during the evening, and this is when she noticed his behavior is very bizarre. She said that he was very scared, very panicked. He didn't want to be there. He said, I feel unsafe and I'm being followed. So at this point, she's, you know, probably just trying to comfort him. And, you know, she said, you'll be home tomorrow. Everything's going to be okay.
But so, so he's going to fly out one day later, essentially.
Yeah. Well, okay. He's going to attempt to. The next day, he goes to the airport to catch his flight. The reason that we know this is because this is the period of time where we have all of this footage of him. You can see him arriving at the airport terminal. He actually texts his mom and he says, I'm here, I'm safe. On the footage, you can see him walking through the opening. He doesn't look disturbed. He looks calm. Now, he goes to see an airport doctor. Now, I didn't know that they had anything like this, but I guess you learn something new every day. On the footage, you can see him approaching a woman, and it seems as though he might be asking, like, where the airport doctor is located. It's a brief conversation. They don't look like they know each other or anything. And then he goes in the other direction. Then he enters the doctor's office. Now, the doctor, in hindsight, says, like, his behavior was very bizarre, but I guess, like, he didn't even realize it. He's panicky with the doctor, and then all of a sudden, a construction worker comes in. And at this point, it literally looks like he went into full-fledged panic, and he kind of mutters to himself something along the lines of, oh, I don't want to die here.
That's weird.
He gets up and he bolts. You can see him bolt through the airport terminal. You can see him bolt outside because now they have cameras outside of the airport. So you see him go through the door. And I'm telling you, like, he is running for his life. Like, he's not, it's not a trot. It's not like a slow jog. He's running. You can see him run through the parking lot in the airport, down the street, even as far as, like, onto another street, and then he's out of frame, and...
Tell me that's it.
That's it.
I hate
that. That is the last that anyone saw Lars, and there have not been any decent leads. The one article that I read about a quote-unquote decent lead, in my opinion, was not a decent lead. In about 2015, a truck driver called in a tip. He thought he saw him. It was not him. So,
well, that's not a good lead.
No, not really. A lot of people probably have called in and said, like, I think I've seen him or whatever, and it turned out to be nothing. It's absolutely mind-boggling. The internet, Reddit, has so many things to say about it. I don't even know where to begin, but I kind of carved out the most prevalent theories, I think.
Okay, I'm listening.
Okay, so the first one is he ran away from his life, which... to me, is really just like when someone's missing, like something you just say. I can't picture what he'd run from. So he has a good job. He went on a trip with friends, which means he has some good friends. He has a good relationship with his family. He's an only child. I don't know if he would do that to his parents. Girlfriend? It doesn't sound to me like he's running from anything. And he also left all his bags, passport, his ID, and probably any money he had on him in that medical office at the airport. So what's he going to do?
Well, I mean, if you're leaving your life, like, you are going to leave all that behind.
Money? Clothes?
I mean,
well,
I guess my question would be how much money? If it's like, you know, if it's like U.S. money, let's say $50, like, I think at that point you're going to be like, whatever, like, that's not going to do anything anyway.
Right.
I don't know.
But I mean,
so
like,
keep going.
But I can't really see why. And in that fashion.
Right. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Another theory is that he was right. And when he was actually saying, like, there's people after me.
Yeah, but.
So I guess you have
that.
Not really. I mean, you have to ask yourself, like, you got into a bar fight. How many people have Russian connections to come and take care of someone? And even at that, like, if you're going to...
For what? Like a bar fight?
Yeah, it doesn't fit the crime, you know? Like, I'm going to kill you because you punched somebody? I can't wrap my head around that either.
I mean, okay, so I will say, like, crazier things have happened.
Okay, yes, true.
Like, so think about, like, the Aaron Hernandez stuff. Like, he supposedly killed someone because they disrespected him in a bar.
Well, okay.
I mean, no, that's like, the super high level. I know there's much more to the story.
No, but I actually think that's a really valid point, but it's going to force me to jump into another theory.
Go for it.
Did he have a traumatic brain injury that was undiagnosed from that fight?
Yes.
Which I happen to think that traumatic brain injuries are complex in the sense that nobody's injuries are exactly the same, right?
Right.
And just because two people have pretty similar brain injuries doesn't mean they're going to react the same way. So you can't really say that just because someone has a traumatic brain injury that they're going to fly off the handle, right?
Right. No, I agree with that. That's a true statement.
With that being said, I also think that something like that with Aaron Hernandez is probably the reason he flew off the handle. I mean, and we know this because after death, they were able to determine that he had, what is it called? Not CBT.
TBI.
No, but like...
Oh, you're right. I forget the name of it, too. But yes. Yes.
It's possible. He took a blow to the head, and it was so hard that it impaired his hearing, or it ruptured his eardrum.
Which is pretty intense.
I guess I just have a hard time wrapping my head around how it went to that level of people are following me and he bolts out of an airport like that with nothing. But even if that happened, where did he go? Not all people that have TBIs disappear off the face of the earth.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
I don't know. I can't rule that out. But I still have questions about it. Another theory is that the antibiotics he was given could have caused these side effects. Now, I'm kind of quick to rule that out because it seems like this is a really common medication. I'm sorry, a common antibiotic given. And it has probably similar side effects as a lot of antibiotics that we all take, like diarrhea or... I don't know, but hallucinating and psychosis is not really one of them.
Okay.
So I don't think that it was the antibiotic. He had said he was really distrustful about his medication to the doctor at the airport, but to me, that could have been part of whatever psychosis or whatever panic he was experiencing.
His friends obviously never heard from him again. Did he have a cell phone? Like, has that been traced?
Everything was left at the airport. Like, he stood up and just ran.
Okay. And because a construction worker walked in.
Yes. And he alluded to, like, I don't want to die or something.
And
like
has
that.
A question. There was a construction worker been questioned.
I assume yes. But I mean, actually, that was kind of something that was, you know, overlooked in the article. I think because the doctor was able to say, like, he was acting kind of bizarre, really, the whole time.
Okay, but, like, my question is, let's pretend for 1 second we believe his Russian mob story. Could the construction worker have been involved and acting like a construction worker?
If I believed him, it would certainly be plausible.
You see my point, though. Like... Is it possible that the construction worker was a construction worker posing as a construction worker and they were involved in whatever?
Possible. Yeah.
I mean, I'm more likely to believe that a fight that ruptured an eardrum could cause brain injury. And like I said, it gives me very Elisa Lam vibes in that. Although with her, we ended up on and we could thought it was foul play. But, oh, guys, sorry. We've done Elisa Lam on a Hot Takes episode for our VIP Patreon. You can go listen to it there, but don't go back in our feed and listen to the episode. Look for the episode because it's not in our normal feed. Anyway.
Yes.
So do I think that, like, it's possible? Sure. I mean, honestly, anything is possible. You know what I mean?
Also, could it have been drugs?
I mean, did he have a history of drugs at all?
No. So I'm kind of quick to rule that one out.
Yeah, me too.
It's not like he's 21 and making really poor decisions. He's like a 28-year-old guy.
Did he have any sort of history of, like, a mental anything?
No. No. And for the most part, he was acting normal pretty much the whole trip and everything. It was the last couple of days, like really after that fight.
Okay. So I guess, what does his friends and family think?
They think he's alive out there somewhere. They're hoping that, like, he experienced, I don't know, maybe something from his injury. He might be living homeless out there on the street somewhere. You know, probably maybe unrecognizable at this point, which I don't think is far-fetched.
Okay. So do they think that, like, it was a mental, like, something happened in the fight? Or do they think that, like, he left his life?
I don't know that a whole lot of people think he left his life. I think people are more inclined to think that, yeah, he, you know, someone might have been after him. Or something happened. Like, he went to the hospital. He did all the things he should have done after the injury. But, you know, if they didn't see any signs of a concussion or anything, would they have known to look for a TBI?
But hold on. I was just going to say that. What year was this again? 2014? Yeah. So, like, think of how much we've learned about TBIs in the last 6 years.
I don't know. Do you think we've learned a lot?
I think we have learned a lot, but I also think it's a bigger discussion point because of the NFL and things like Aaron Hernandez. You know, I think that, like, with NFL players having concussion protocols and things changing like that, I think it is more of a prevalent conversation that, like, in that kind of situation, I would assume that hospitals are more cognizant of the potential of a brain injury in that kind of a... Okay, hold on. Now I'm going to, like, throw everyone for a loop for a second. And this might be a sidebar conversation for you and I later, which might have to cut. But could Rico Harris have had a TBI from getting hit in the head in the bat? Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, yeah, and think about that. Like, does that change our perspective of that case? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, the more you know, true. The more you can apply to different situations.
I think that you're right in the sense that we are talking more about TBIs. Mainly, I think, because we've had someone like Aaron Hernandez, who, if you don't know, he used to be...
I mean, you can just say he's a Patriots. He was a Patriots player that committed a murder.
He ended up committing suicide in prison. I think because they were able to autopsy this young guy, because you can't find some of these brain injuries until after death, you know, it prompted the conversation of, wow, it takes less than we thought to damage the brain. But I don't think that it's necessarily a conversation everywhere, because we play football here. We play American football. Yeah, I know you could probably get soccer injuries and stuff.
Not like American football, though.
But I don't think like American football.
I agree with that 100%. So
maybe they are a little bit behind. I don't know. It's just something to consider, I think.
And also, like, so I don't know. I would, based on the erratic behavior immediately after the bar fight and the ruptured eardrum,
mm-hmm.
I tend to think that something happened. And it was a TBI, a traumatic brain injury. I don't know if we said it out loud. But then what happened?
Exactly. So he stops running at some point.
Is that why his family just thinks he's homeless?
I'm not really sure why. I think it's because there's no reason to think that he's deceased. And if you've had kind of like a mental break for whatever reason, whether it be because of injury or genetics or whatever it is, a lot of people sadly do end up homeless.
I guess my question would be, when he went into the airport and called his mom, did he know who he was? Yes, right? So like,
he texted her, I believe. But I mean, yes, he evidently had the wherewithal to pull out his phone, find mom in his phone, and text her that he got to the airport safe.
Right. So my question then is, so let's say he did have a TBI, right? And let's say that he took off out of the airport because he had an issue. He still knew his name. It wasn't like he had a psychotic break. Although, I guess my thing is, like, Bryce LaPisa knew his name when he got pulled over.
Yeah, that's true.
And, I mean, if we believe that he is still out there homeless because he had a brain injury, he had a psychotic break. So, do the friends think the people they got in a fight with were, like, scary enough that, like, they should be concerned?
I don't get that impression. I feel like when Lars was saying all these things, they were kind of like, what? What are you talking about? Like, it didn't fit right with them.
So, when he ran outside of the airport, what happened next?
From start to finish, you see him run from the medical office and through the terminal. Then the next camera picks him up going through the door, and he's running out the door into the parking lot. He crosses the parking lot and starts down the street. And then he gets to the end of the street, and you can see him going onto another street, and he's still running. It appears to me like the camera is high upon the building, mm-hmm. so it's able to capture a lot more ground. So you see him way in the distance going down a street. He's gone. He's not taking a little trip down the sidewalk. He's gone.
And so what did German authorities do? Or Bulgarian authorities at this point? And I don't understand the cancel his credit cards thing. Like, that to me, and I'm sorry that this is going to throw a wrench in it, says leave my life. If I'm scared for my life, I am not canceling my credit cards. Like, what's the worst thing that happens? Someone steals my credit card and uses it? Okay, I'm going to call my credit card company, report it as fraud, and it's over.
Well, logically, yes. I mean, what you're saying makes sense to me.
Yeah, so, but my question is, like, when he texted his mom and said, hey, cancel my credit cards, like, what was her response?
I think that she was just trying to figure it all out, honestly. I think she probably said that she would or whatever because he was just so worked up. I don't know if she was like, I'll just deal with this later or whatever. But, you know, I think that she was trying to figure out what was going on, trying to calm him down and assure him that, you know, they'd be together tomorrow and, you know, work through it.
So what is delaying it for one day change? Like, I don't understand.
So I don't know that it changes much. I know that he talked to a doctor that day. The doctor said, don't fly. So I imagine he was hoping that he'd go to the airport. The doctor would clear him to fly and he'd be on his way.
You think that's why he went to the airport doctor then? Which,
well, yes. I wasn't clear, I apologize. That he needed the doctor to tell him that he was going to be okay to fly. What do you mean how?
Okay, so let's for one second say you're in Bulgaria and you miss,
yep.
you quote unquote miss your flight because of medical injury, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? I don't understand. Like, why can't you just go up to the ticket counter and say, hey, I missed my flight. I just need you to reschedule it for me. They don't know you were in the hospital.
Well, I suppose that's true.
So my question is, like, why does he have to get the doctor's permission to fly? Like, I just don't understand that part. Like,
well, I don't know if it's permission per se, but it was like, it's one of those things where a doctor strongly recommends or says, like, don't fly. You'll be in excruciating pain.
But how long did the doctor tell him he had to stay there? Like, one day? The doctor was like, okay, just delay your flight one day?
It's a lot of conflicting stuff in articles. Some even said up to a few days.
Because I just think about, like, if it was me and a doctor said that you have to stay here until your ear feels better or whatever, and I was like, screw it, I just want to go home. I would just go to the airline and be like, I missed my flight, can you rebook me? And not even say anything.
I mean, maybe.
Now, the airport doctor said he acted strangely, but like, normal, what?
He said bizarre.
Bizarre.
But then, like, the construction worker walked in, and that was when it was, like, sheer panic.
I don't understand. Okay, so I guess part of my question, too, is, like, the friends just leaving. I know he said he was fine, but and I'm not, no judgment to them. But for me, I don't know that I can just leave my friend in a foreign country.
Well, he had money. He had a place to stay lined up. I hear what you're saying, but I could see how he probably reassured his friends. They probably felt okay leaving him at that point. I don't know. I also think males and females are different, not trying to stereotype.
No, I understand. Yeah, I don't know. Look, like I said, it gives me Elisa Lam vibes, except for in Elisa Lam, I think it was foul play. I don't necessarily think this was foul play. I definitely think there was head trauma, and I don't know what that means.
So if there was head trauma and he took off how he did.
Yep.
I'm trying to kind of figure out, like, did he wander until he, I don't necessarily think that, like, foul play occurred. But, like, did he wander and get into some type of accident where he did end up dying as just kind of a result of the whole chain of events? Or did he really, like, lose everything and end up homeless on the streets somewhere? He's in a foreign country. It's not the same thing as he goes lost in Germany and you kind of have some good ideas where to look.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I don't like any of it. I just don't understand how no one found him since then, but it's like the same thing with Bryce LaPisa. How has no one found him since then?
Right. I don't know. I think that I'm landing on he suffered a TBI. He started having hallucinations or, you know, he was thinking people were after him.
Paranoia.
Which resulted in him perceiving whatever happening at the airport was to him. He runs. And I think that he probably ended up maybe accidentally hurting himself.
Oh, really?
You know, like, yeah. I mean, whether you run into the woods and you starve, I don't know. Something like that.
I mean, I don't know that I'm...
He probably tried to hide somewhere. He's paranoid.
Wait, but for how long? Like, at some point, your, like, natural instinct kicks in and, like...
Until he passes away?
No, I disagree with that. I think at some point, your natural instinct kicks in and you seek out food and water.
Unless you're so lost, you can't find it.
Okay, well, I mean, I'll agree with that.
Mm-hmm. He could be homeless. He could be homeless somewhere. And maybe some of these sightings just were not able to be confirmed. It's not that they were found to be wrong or right. It's that, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to agree with you on the TBI. I'm not necessarily going to agree with you that he harmed himself.
And not intentionally. I don't think it was an intentional thing, just to be clear.
Yeah, I agreed. But I'm just saying I won't go that far, but I will land on a TBI.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you all think? I know a lot of you have probably heard of this case for sure. So please tell me. I know that there's a lot of theories out there, and I definitely wasn't going to go into all of them. But if you're really sold on one, and you want to bring it up to us, please do.
Yes, please do. Either way. All right, listen. Tell us what you think. We're happy to respond to everything, but social media, email, whatever. If we haven't said it, rate, subscribe, review. Go join our Patreon. We are loving the volume of people that are joining. And we email all of you and reach out. And I'm just enjoying that conversation too.
And we hope you all are having fun with us. So yeah. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right.
All right, guys. So we'll see you same time, same place next week.
Yes.
Bye. Bye. For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.